You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dr. G. Keith Smith, a board-certified anesthesiologist in private practice since 1990 in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Dr. Smith, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Smith, I read something that was rather disturbing. It was around last week or the week before about this woman out in Arizona who had been unfortunately bit by a scorpion, and she went to the medical center there and they charged her an insane amount of money, and you wrote an article about it which really put things in perspective. I want to talk about that in a minute, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you tell them a little bit about your background, who you are, and also about this website that you launched in 2009?
Sure. I'm an anesthesiologist and started practice in Oklahoma City in 1990, and by 1997 had had my fill of the big hospitals and how they treated the patients and me and the surgeons I worked with. So my anesthesia partner, Stephen Lantier, and I bought an old surgery center, and we decided we would do it differently. We would do it the way we wanted to do it and the way we thought that we'd want to be cared for. So we did two things very differently. We decided we would never take a dime of government money, and we haven't still. And the other thing we did is we embraced what I now call pricing honesty. So we tried to embrace the whole idea of rational pricing in healthcare, and people laughed at us for doing that. But over time, we began to see some hospital bills that people had received for the same procedures we were doing at our facility. And after a very short time, we had a pretty good handle and a pretty good feel for what performing some of these surgeries actually costs. And so the hospital bills, it became very clear to us, were completely unreasonable. After a few years, we had developed a reputation in the Oklahoma City community, and people who didn't have insurance, people who had very high deductibles, they came to see us because they knew that the quality of care at our place was unsurpassed and that the pricing was fair. 3 years ago, I decided to put our prices online because I thought that that might even extend that reach outside of the Oklahoma area and bring outside patients in who had similar thoughts as the ones we'd attracted locally, and also thought it was time to shine the light on what these big so-called not-for-profit hospitals were doing, because it's just wrong, and I just thought it was terrible.
Right.
The first thing that happened is the Canadians started coming. They saw our pricing and realized for a reasonable amount of money, they could buy their way out of the lines they were standing in, which many times were years long. So that's our story. Our pricing that we've displayed for the world to see has brought people from all over the world, certainly all over the United States, and has caused quite a stir, because anyone that's had surgery and has their hospital bill can now look at our website and compare what they were charged and what they paid and what they could have paid. And we're not losing money. I mean, the prices that we've listed, I mean, we're making money. So it's been very interesting to see the reaction to this move on our part.
Have any other practices followed, do you think?
Not that I'm aware of. There are many individual physicians in their office who are beginning to display their prices and be transparent. I think that there are some urgent care facilities that are physician-owned that are beginning to do this. And that's one of the keys. If the doctors own it, in all likelihood, the prices are going to be very reasonable and fair, because the doctors owning it eliminates the most inefficient and greedy component of the whole system. And that's the big corporate hospital.
Right.
But LASIK surgery, plastic surgery, those people have been transparent with their pricing forever, and the quality of care there and the prices has fallen there. And I think we'll see a similar thing the more transparency people adopt.
You meant the quality of care hasn't fallen, just the prices, you mean, right?
Yeah, and I told somebody the other day, I'm convinced now there's an inverse relationship between what people charge and the quality. It is such a mess.
How about the mainstream media? Have they paid any attention to what you've done over there in Oklahoma?
Not the mainstream media. We have a local television station here that doesn't take a lot of advertising revenue from the big hospitals, and they have recently shown an interest in us. But no, for the most part, we have gotten no attention from our local media. Reason Magazine did a two-day documentary here recently, and I think that's going to air in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Besides Reason Magazine, they're relatively, I guess, small player, but on the internet, it can open it up to everybody. But besides Reason Magazine, what about CNN or CBS or ABC or NBC or any of those big guys? Have they ever done a story on you?
No, and frankly, I would be surprised if they did. I haven't looked at who their corporate sponsors are, but I would imagine that they're taking in enough money from the big pharmaceutical companies and others. They would feel very, very conflicted doing a story on us. That would be my guess.
Right.
I would also, frankly, be reluctant to do it too, because you never know what they're going to air.
Exactly.
We're doing what we do here because it helps people at a reasonable price, and we are making a great living charging a tenth, sometimes a 20th, what is charged across town. And I don't know that I would be terribly excited about doing an interview with Wolf Blitzer not knowing what was going to come out on the other side.
Oh.
Actually, I think I do know.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I mean, you had to mention him. That guy out of any of them, he turns my stomach.
And I appreciate your letting me, because it's not amenable to a soundbite. You know, I did an interview with Russia Today. I flew to Washington to their studio the other day, and they let me do this. They let me say eight sentences to kind of wrap it up. But I don't know a better way to say it. I don't know a more concise way to say it than that. So thank you for letting me do that.
No, sir, you don't have to thank me. I mean, this is what it's all about, giving listeners and viewers the unvarnished truth.
And this will make people mad. I mean, what I'm talking about is really making people mad. It's making people mad on all sides, the victims of it and the perpetrators. So this is maddening stuff. We're, I think, beginning to cause a stir with this pricing, because people that charge, like this medical center in Phoenix, people that do things like that and charge like that, they really have some explaining to do.
You're not kidding. All right, let's start talking about this now. Let me just set the stage a little bit here. A couple of articles in the paper in the beginning of September, right after Labor Day, where this Arizona woman, 52-year-old woman, Marcy Edmonds, she was bit by this nasty-looking scorpion called a bark scorpion. She went into the hospital, and they gave her this new drug that was just accepted by the FDA recently, called Anascorp, and he was out of there, I guess, in a couple hours. You wrote a great article about this.
Thank you.
Called What a Scorpion Sting Teaches Us About Hospitals and Insurance. What piqued your interest about this particular story?
Well, what piqued my interest about this is what we have noticed for a long time, and that it's been no secret here in Oklahoma that our prices and quality are second to none, but none of the insurance companies would deal with us. And that has always been this big, gigantic question mark, and I finally figured it out. And I've had some insiders in the insurance business that have helped me and have kind of confirmed what happened.
Okay.
But essentially, this woman was charged $40,000 a dose for a drug that is produced for $100 in Mexico. The FDA granted the exclusive distribution rights to a company in Tennessee, who then marked it up to $3,750. Keep in mind, the Tennessee company is not manufacturing this drug. They're distributing it just like beer. So the hospital then buys this drug for Chandler Regional Medical Center for $3,750, and then they mark it up to $40,000. The insurance company then pays $57,000 on this $83,000 bill, and in the hospital balance bills the patient $25,000, because they're not for profit. They need another $25,000 to not make a profit.
Right.
So the bottom line is, to break all that down, the first thing to understand is, let's take it from the hospital first. And some of this is counterintuitive, but the hospital, they create these gigantic bills, not just because they want to collect that kind of money, but it is absolutely necessary for them to show losses. So even though the hospital had $7,500 of cost in these drugs, they were paid $57,000, so they basically have a clear $50,000 profit. They will claim that they lost money to the extent that the $57,000 is less than the $83,000 that they charged. And this helps them maintain the fiction of their not-for-profit status. So these hospitals are looking for red ink wherever they can find it, and oftentimes they manufacture it. They create it by producing bills like this that are completely crazy. Also, to the extent that they claim that they lost money on this $26,000, for instance, that they may or may not collect on the rest of that bill, that goes into a fund called the Uncompensated Care Fund. And that is sent up to Washington, D.C., and then they receive basically a rebate from Uncle Sam because they lost all that money. And that is something called the Disproportionate Share Hospital Fund. The hospitals right now are screaming after the implementation of Obamacare to not touch their uncompensated care funds, even though supposedly they're going to be paid for everybody. So that's kind of interesting. So the hospital generates these gigantic bills to create false red ink that helps them look like they're not for profit. And then when they get their rebates, it's important to understand the hospitals get paid even when they don't get paid. So if they claim that they are providing charity care, that is just simply not true. Even when they say they did something for nothing, they're still getting that rebate. If you look at it from the insurance side, this is also very counterintuitive. The insurance companies actually make most of their money on something called claims repricing. Claims repricing works like this. The $83,000 bill came to the insurance company. The insurance company paid $57,000. They then ride back to the employer who has this insurance policy for this person and say, listen, we did such a great job. We saved you $26,000 on this bill. We repriced this claim down to $57,000. Then at the employer's office, they collect their percentage on that false savings. Industry standard is 35%. So the employer, not understanding this game, happily ponies up $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000, thinking that this insurance company has really been working hard for him and marked that claim down from 83 to 57. But when you think through that, you realize the insurance company is perversely inclined to seek out hospitals like Chandler Regional Medical Center that produce bills like this. And then the circle is complete, and it's helped me understand my situation here in Oklahoma. Insurance companies want nothing to do with us with these reasonable bills, because then they turn their back on all of the money that they make from this claims repricing. So the woman situation in Arizona, I think, perfectly illustrates the hospital, the not-for-profit, false red ink, uncompensated care, and from the insurance side, the claims repricing sort of kickbacks. I just think it's a great story to illustrate that, and that's why I wrote that article.
Yeah, great article. So it's kind of like when Eisenhower warned Americans before he left office about the military-industrial complex. This is kind of like the hospital insurance company complex.
Yeah, and you have to throw Big Pharma in, and you can't leave the FDA out.
Right.
And, you know, now we've got the health information technology people, too, that many of which are now billionaires thanks to this mandated electronic medical records. That's an industry that is necessary and has its place, but not to the extent to which Uncle Sam shoved it down everybody's throat. But they're another player in this mess now.
Uncle Sam, yeah. More billionaires created by Uncle Sam. Jeez, I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
Seems like Uncle Sam is creating nothing but paupers out of the rest of the country.
How do you think this Tennessee company got the exclusive distribution rights on that drug? What a great gig. Monopolies are typically produced by the government, and this is a great example.
Right, and the company itself, you put it in your article, it is Rare Disease Therapeutics.
Yes.
And I want to give the listeners your website address so they could pull that up while they're listening. It's surgerycenterok.com. Any other websites that you're affiliated with, Doc?
Yeah, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has a fabulous website, aapsonline.org. And that is a website along with ours. I have a blog that's affiliated with mine that I contribute to almost every day. We're talking about how the free market is applicable in medical care. And there are so many that claim that it's not, and they're wrong. As I mentioned earlier, LASIK and plastic surgery are great examples. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is a very strong, totally uncompromising group that has written about the sanctity of the patient-doctor relationship for years, and they're continuing to flog away at government intrusions in medicine.
Oh, that's good. Now, you've been in practice over 20 years, right?
Yes.
Why do you think the practice of what we're talking about here has gotten to this level? Are there any culprits that you can identify?
Well, the federal government is the first one. When they first started talking about Medicare, none of the physicians wanted anything to do with it. And the way they got the physicians to surrender was they said, we'll pay whatever you charge. And so guess what happened to physician charges? In the hospitals, many of them were started and owned by the physicians who work there. I think the default model for a hospital was to be owned by the physicians who work there. And then that all changed in the late 50s and early 60s. So you now had these corporate-owned, really inefficient, greedy, profit-seeking entities that came about the same time that the federal government opened up the treasury to healthcare. And of course, the charges and the expenses went wild, and then the insurance industry, with Nixon's HMO Act in 1971, really jettisoned the whole idea of the casualty insurance model, and health insurance as we know it now came into being, and it's this sort of a prepay insurance. Premiums are typically very high, but then insurance pays for everything instead of people taking risk and also taking responsibility and accountability for their own health. So I think the consequences of that are very, very predictable. I pointed out to someone the other day, there's a physician-owned heart hospital here in Oklahoma City that will do an open-heart surgery for $26,000. That's about 1 year's premiums in Massachusetts now.
Wow.
There's an orthopedic hospital next door to me owned by some friends, and they will do a total hip replacement for about $17,000. And that's far less than 1 year's premiums in Massachusetts, and probably about the right premiums in many states. We have very few procedures that are above 8,000. I mean, most of our procedures are less than 5,000, and they include the surgeon, anesthesia, and the facility. This model of physician ownership has just taken a beating through the years because the big hospitals have lobbied hard to make sure their competitors have been hamstrung. And in fact, there is a ban on any expansion of physician-owned hospitals in the United States as part of this new, I call it the Unaffordable Care Act. So the hospitals have been very effective in keeping their competitors from coming about. And there's also no doubt that the highest quality of care, surgical care in the United States, is delivered at these physician-owned facilities. So that's a whole different topic. And that was part of a follow-up article that I wrote to the Scorpion. What do you think this woman's bill would have been had she been at an urgent care facility that was owned by her primary care doctor? Because he couldn't really blister her with a bill like this in his own little urgent care spot any more than he could in his office. He would run her off. So by eliminating that greedy corporate profit-seeking entity like Chandler Regional Medical Center, by eliminating them, you take well over 50% of the expense out.
Wow. So what would the doctor in the urgent care facility have charged?
He would have been happy to just get his cost back on the drug. And if he was having to actually keep that drug in his inventory, then he should be compensated for storing something and having it on hand, something that expensive, but not marking it up 10 times for sure. Many times, vendors here at our surgery center will leave their wares in my building hoping that we use it. And so it's actually here on consignment and it's not even in my inventory.
Right.
So what in the world business would I have marking something up that high? So in all likelihood, the physician would have charged probably $200 or $300 to see the patient, and the facility probably would have charged the cost of the drug if they had the drug actually in their inventory. I think industry standard is in a physician-owned place is cost plus 40%. That's considerably less than times 10.
1,000%, right.
1,000%.
Now, you said before that, I guess, your most expensive procedure is $8,000.
I just put some new things on the website, and I think that we are charging more than that for a cervical spine fusion, and I want to say that price is $15,000. That's many times over $100,000 at other places.
Exactly. So let's even say $15,000. Now, you have 40 doctors in your practice, is that right?
We have 47 now.
Are you living comfortably?
Oh, yeah.
You make enough money, you're living a comfortable life.
Oh, yeah, charging a tenth of what the hospitals are across town.
Right. Do you think it comes down to that lifelong issue of it's never enough for some people?
Yes, and I think that people do what they can, and a lot of people do what they think they can get away with. And some of what the hospitals and insurance companies and big pharma, some of what they're doing that is shrouded and is not well understood. Just think of your reaction when you read my article. I mean, if yours is like most people's, they're scratching their heads and thinking, I had no idea this was going on. And
right.
They've been very, very successful in covering that up. Part of it is that they, of course, never mention any of this, but the other part is the propaganda campaigns that they engage in where they talk about all of the good that they're doing the community, particularly not-for-profit hospitals.
Right. I see that all the time. Right. They even send out magazines sometimes free to tell
yes.
you. So that's the reason they're doing that. It's a propaganda campaign to make it seem like they're helping the community.
And they hate me because on my blog, I write about Bastiat, talk about the broken window. And I said, just think about how many people could have received health care with the money these people have ripped off from the system
exactly.
over the years. What is not seen?
And I can understand why they don't like you. Reason Magazine did a mini documentary about you, or was it filmed?
Yes, it was filmed, and we're expecting that to come out in the next probably 3 to 5 weeks. They're actually comparing side by side an itemized bill from our facility and from a big hospital here in town for the same procedure, and it will shock people.
Oh, yeah.
It will really shock people.
So folks can go to surgerycenterok.com, and at the bottom of the menu there, the left menu, it says our Tumblr blog, and they can access your blog there. And you update that daily or close to daily, right?
Almost every day. Yeah, okay. Almost every day.
Great. Dr. Deke Smith, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. It's an amazing topic, and looking forward to having you back to really explain and flesh out Obamacare.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed the interview. Look forward to talking to you again.